A Catholic saint did that? Chauncey made a sound of distaste. I am not responsible for the sorts of people the other side employs, wizard, or the tactics they use. Considering the source, I think I'll note it as a biased opinion. Your folk have done a thousand times worse, I said.
Well, true, Chauncey admitted.
But we tend to be quite honest about the sort of beings we are and the sort of things we stand for, at least. I snorted.
All right. This is making a lot more sense now.
MacFin is a Loup Garou, one of the legendary monsters. He's trying to do some good in his spare time, make a big park for all furry critters, but Harding puts himself in the way. MacFin goes on a killing spree and wipes him out. I frowned. Except that Harding was the last person to be murdered last month. You would have thought that if MacFin was going to lose it, that he would have been the first to go. I peered at Chauncey. Is MacFin the murderer?
MacFin is a murderer, Chauncey said. But among humankind, he is one of many, and not the most monstrous.
Is he the one who killed Marconi's bodyguard, the people last month?
My information on that point is inconclusive, Harry Dresden, Chauncey said. His black eyes gleamed. Perhaps for the price of another name, I could inquire of my brethren and give you a more precise answer.
I scowled. Not a chance. Do you know who murdered the other people last month?
I do, Chauncey said. Murder is one of the foremost sins, and we keep close track of sins.
I leaned forward intently. Who was it? Chauncey laughed, a grating sound.
Really, Harry Dresden, in the first place our bargain was for information regarding MacFin and the Northwest Passage Project. In the second, I would not tell you the answer to such a direct question, and you know it. There is a limit on how much I may involve myself in mortal affairs.
I let out a breath of frustration and rubbed my eyes. Yeah, all right, Chauncey. What else can you tell me?
Only that Harley MacFin was planning to meet with Johnny Marconi tomorrow night and continue the talks.
Wait a minute. Is Marconi the major opponent to the project now?
Correct, Chauncey said. He assumed control of a majority of the business interests shared with Harding upon Harding's death.
So Marconi had a fantastic motive to have Harding killed. It broadened his financial empire and put him into a position to gouge MacFin for as much money as he possibly could. Chauncey adjusted his wire-framed spectacles.
Your reasoning would seem sound.
I thumped my pencil on my notebook, staring at what I had written. Yeah, but it doesn't explain why everyone else got killed, or who did it. Unless Marconi's got a pack of werewolves in his pocket, that is. I chewed on my lip and thought about my encounter at the Full Moon Garage. Or street wolves.
Is there anything else?
Chauncey asked, his manner solicitous. Yes, I said. Where can I find MacFin?
888 Ralston Place.
I wrote it down. But that's right here in Chicago, in the Gold Coast.
Where do you expect a billionaire to live when he was in Chicago, Harry Dresden? Now, I seem to have lived up to all of my obligations. I expect my payment now.
Chauncey took a few restless steps back and forth within the circle. His time on Earth was beginning to wear on him. I nodded. My name, I said, is Harry Blackstone Dresden. I carefully omitted Copperfield from the words, while leaving the tones and pronunciation the same.
Harry Blackstone Dresden. Chauncey repeated carefully. Harry, as in Harry Houdini? Blackstone, the stage illusionist?
I nodded. My dad was a stage magician. When I was born, he gave me those names. They were always his heroes. I think if my mother had survived the birth, she would have slapped him for it. I made a few more notes on my page, getting ideas down on paper before they fled from memory.
Indeed, Chauncey agreed. Your mother was a most direct and willful woman. Her loss was a great sadness to all of us.
I blinked, startled, and the pencil fell from my fingers. I stared at the demon for a moment. You knew my mother? You knew Margaret Gwendolyn Dresden? Chauncey regarded me without expression or emotion.
Many in the underworld were familiar with her, Harry Blackstone Dresden, though under a different name. Her coming was awaited with great anticipation, but the Dark Prince lost her in the end.
What do you mean? What are you talking about? Chauncey's eyes gleamed with avarice.
Didn't you know about your mother's past, Mr. Dresden? A pity we didn't have this conversation sooner. You might have added it up into the bargain we made. Of course, if you would like to forfeit another name to know all about your mother's past, his voice twisted with distaste, redemption, and the unnatural deaths of both mother and father, I am certain we can work something out.
I gritted my teeth in a sudden rush of childlike frustration. My heart pounded in my ears. My mother's dark past? I had expected she was a wizardress, but I had never been able to prove anything, one way or another. Unnatural deaths? My father had perished in his sleep of an aneurysm when I was young. My mother had died in childbirth. Or had they? A sudden burning desire to know filled me, started in my gut and rolled outwards through my body, to know who my mother was, what she had known. She had left me her silver pentacle, but I knew nothing of the sort of person she was, other than what my gentle and too generous father had told me before his death. What were my parents like? How had they perished, and why? Had they been killed? Did they have enemies lurking out there somewhere? If so, had I inherited them? My mother's dark past. Did that explain my own fascination with the darker powers, my somewhat less than sterling adherence to the rules of the White Council that I considered foolish or inconvenient? I looked up at the demon and felt like a sucker. I had been set up. He had intended all along to dangle this information in front of me as bait. He wanted to get my whole name, if he could, or more.
I can show them to you, Harry Blackstone Dresden, as they really are,
Sean Zagaroth assured me, his voice dulcet.
You've never seen your mother's face. I can give that to you. You've never heard her voice. I can let you hear that as well. You know nothing of what sort of people your parents were, or if you have any other family out there. Family, Harry Blackstone Dresden. Blood. Every bit as tormented and alone as you are.
I stared at the demon's hideous form and listened to the soothing, relaxing voice. Family. Was it possible I had family?
Aunts, uncles, cousins.
Others, like me, perhaps, moving through the secret societies of the wizards, hidden from the view of the mortal world.
The price is comparatively low. What need have you for your immortal soul when your body is finished with it? What harm to pass on to me only one more name? This is not information easily gained, even by my kind. You may not have the chance to garner it again.
The demon pressed his pinchers against the barrier of the conjuring circle. His beak-like maw fairly trembled with eagerness.
Forget it, I said quietly. No deal.
Sean Zagaroth's jaw dropped open.
But Harry Blackstone Dresden, he began.
I didn't realize I was shouting until I saw him flinch.
I said forget it. You think I'm some kind of simp for you to sucker in, Darkspawn? Take what you have gained and go, and feel lucky I did not send you with your bones torn from your body or your beak ground into dust.
Sean Zagaroth's eyes flashed with rage, and he hurled himself against the barrier again, howling with bloodlust and fury. I extended my hand and snarled.
Oh, no, you don't, you slimy little shithead.
The demon's will strained against mine, and though sweat burst out on my forehead, I came out ahead once more. Sean Zagaroth began to grow smaller and smaller, howling out his frustrated rage.
We are watching you, wizard, he screamed.
You walk through shadows and one night you will slip and fall. And when you do, we will be there. We will be waiting to bring you down to us. You will be ours in the end.
He went on like that until he shrank to the size of a pinpoint and vanished with a little imploding sound. I let my hand drop and lowered my head, breathing hard. I was shaking all over, but not only with the cold of my laboratory. I had badly misjudged John Zagaroth, thought him a somewhat reliable, if dangerous, source of information, willing to do reasonable business. But the rage, the fury, the frustrated malice that had been in his final offer, those last words, had shown his true colors. He had lied to me, deceived me about his true nature, played me along like a sucker, and then tried to set the hook hard. I felt like such an idiot. The phone began to ring upstairs. I stirred into sudden motion, shoving stacks of things out of the way, pushing past them and over them to reach the stepladder stairs that led up to my apartment. I hurried up them, my notebook in one hand, and caught the phone on its fifth ring. My apartment was dark. Night had fallen while I was interviewing the demon. "Dresden," I said, puffing. "Harry," Murphy said, her voice weak. "We've got another one." "Son of a bitch," I said. "I'm coming. Give me the address." I set down the notebook and held my pencil, ready to write. Murphy's tone was numb. 888 Ralston Place, up the Gold Coast. I froze, staring at the address I had written down on the notebook, the address the demon had given me. "Harry," Murphy said, "did you hear me?" "I heard you," I told her. "I'm coming, Murph." I hung up the phone and headed out into the light of the full moon overhead.